If you'd like to grab a Bible, if you haven't already, haven't got your own or maybe forgotten it this morning, there's some Bibles on the bookshelf over there. And also on the back of the bulletin, there's an outline. There's plenty of room to just doodle or make some notes or whatever you like to do. Whatever's going to help you concentrate this morning. And let's pray as we come to God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you so much that we are here together as your people. Father, now by your Spirit, speak to us through your word. May your living word do its work today. Father, please use this word to further transform us to be the people more and more you want us to be. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are, December 31, 2017, the last day of the year. And in case you don't know, we're all invited to a big New Year's Eve party tonight. Now, we're going to the third, guys. Is that we're still on for the night? Okay. If you haven't heard, you're still invited. Is that okay to invite them still? Okay. Okay. It's going to be big. Okay, big barbecue. They've got a big pool, kind of a big game of backyard cricket, and a big game of Big Bash tonight on the TV. It's going to be big. So come along. But please let them know you're coming if you are. Now, God willing, this word to us this morning from God will be big, which I pray is fitting for this occasion. Big time of the year, big word from God to finish one year and begin another. John 21 is our passage today. And so if you've got your Bible there, please open to that now. John 21, last day of the year, last chapter in the book of John. A big day for us. Now, this chapter begins with the disciples not totally convinced about Jesus. Despite Jesus appearing to them twice already, they're still not quite convinced that he really is the Lord. They're still not quite convinced they've been sent on a worldwide mission. How do we know that? Well, as the chapter begins, they decide to go fishing. Now, in John's Gospel, this is the first time the disciples have gone fishing. Other Gospels have them going fishing earlier in the accounts of the life of Jesus, but in John's Gospel, this is the first time they've gone fishing. And so we're meant to think, why are they gone fishing? In a sense, put the other Gospels out of our minds for a moment. Why in John's Gospel, John's account of the life of Jesus, is this the first time they've gone fishing? Well, it looks like they've just got nothing else to do. They've thought, well, what can we do? Oh, let's go fishing. And so they do. So you've got your Bible there. Have a look at John chapter 21. But despite just going fishing, Jesus, the risen Lord, uses this as an opportunity to bring to them big proof of who he is. And this sets the context for the big challenge to Peter. And so our first point today is big proof and the big catch in verses 1 to 8. We pick it up at verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to the disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "Well, we'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. The fact that it is night is significant. Darkness is a key theme in John's Gospel. Darkness can mean that people haven't quite got Jesus yet, or darkness can mean they are actively opposed to Jesus. In this situation, the disciples aren't opposed to Jesus, they just haven't got it. A bit like Nicodemus. When did Nicodemus come to Jesus? At night. The disciples go fishing at night. This indicates they haven't got him yet. They're still in the dark a bit, if you like, about who Jesus really is. And the fact they've caught nothing is also significant. We continue in verse 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Similar to Mary Magdalene, she didn't recognize that it was Jesus at first. It's a new day. It's dawn. This is a new day. There is new hope here. And he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. And he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, "It's the Lord. It is the Lord." See, the penny is dropped for John. It is the Lord. Who else could say, "Drop your net on the other side and there'll be fish"? Who else has the power over creation in that way? Who else brings something from nothing? Who else but the risen Lord? The penny has dropped. This was a huge thing that Jesus had done. Something from nothing. Creation being called into being. And as soon as Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around himself, he'd taken it off, and jumped into the water. Peter sees here an opportunity to do some catch-up, if you like, with Jesus. He denied him earlier on. He sees here an opportunity to do business again with Jesus. In verse 8, the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they weren't far from the shore, about 100 yards. Big proof. And now they share a big breakfast together. Big proof, big catch, big breakfast. Look at verse 9. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. So Jesus already had things ready for them. He said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. Simon's a strong man. He's a strong guy. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Notice here how now the disciples are thoroughly convinced. Look at verse 12 again. None of them dared ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. They're convinced. Who else could provide such a large number? How many? 153. So notice lots of detail in this passage. It reinforcing that this is an eyewitness account. John, who wrote the whole gospel, the whole account, was really there. 153. We perhaps are asking, well, why are we told that number? Would it have mattered if there were 149 or 155 or... Well, the context is saying to us, it's a huge number, it's big fish, and it's big proof. Big fish, number, big proof, with this big catch. This was the proof they needed to thoroughly convince them that Jesus was alive. See, Jesus, in his grace, has provided this. In his patience with them, he's provided this further proof. Now, perhaps there might be some of us here this morning need that proof as well. Perhaps we need thoroughly convincing that Jesus really has been raised from the dead. That doesn't normally happen, does it? Perhaps we're not thoroughly convinced. Or if that's you this morning, or if you know of others who aren't thoroughly convinced, show them this story, this miracle of something from nothing, and be thoroughly convinced that Jesus really has been raised from the dead. But I suspect we perhaps already are thoroughly convinced, and perhaps what we need to hear more this morning is the challenge that then comes to Peter. See, there's big proof, and then there is a big challenge to Peter. Look at verse 15. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now the verse literally reads, "Therefore, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter." Now, whenever there's a therefore in a passage of the Bible, it's always good to ask, what is the therefore there for? And we'll read it again from verse 14. I'll put the therefore in. Verse 14. "This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Therefore, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Do you love me more than these?'" See, it was because this was the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples that he asked this question. See, the number three is very significant in the relationship between Jesus and Peter. Number three is very significant. Let's trace this through John's Gospel a bit. So you've got your Bible there. Please turn back to John 13. John chapter 13. In John 13, Jesus was with his disciples. They'd shared the Last Supper together. This is the night before he died. Judas had left. He was about to betray Jesus. And we pick it up at verse 33. So John 13, verse 33. "My children," this is Jesus speaking, "I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so now I tell you, where I am going, you cannot come." And then down to verse 36. Simon Peter asked, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." The prediction of the denial. Three times he will deny. And then we see it in chapter 18. So flip over, please, to chapter 18. Jesus has been betrayed, arrested, taken to the high priest for questioning, and we pick it up at verse 15. John 18, verse 15. Simon Peter and the other disciple were following Jesus. Because the disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and the officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Denial number one. Move down, please, to verse 25. Verse 25, "Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they asked him, 'You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?' He denied it, saying, 'I am not.'" Denial 2. Verse 26, "One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, 'Didn't I see you with him in the garden?' Again, Peter denied it." Denial 3. "And at that moment, a rooster began to crow." Notice all the threes there. Jesus predicted that he'd deny him three times, and he did. Now he'd appeared to him three times. Because he appeared to him three times, he questions him. So Jesus, in his grace, wants to do business with Peter. and Peter likewise with Jesus. And these threes are important. See, three is a number of completeness. Three is a number of fullness. Three is a number of totalness, if you like. See, Peter had totally denied Jesus. Jesus had totally revealed himself to Peter and the other disciples. Now they were totally convinced. And now Jesus issues this total challenge. Three times he asks the same question, basically. Back to John 21, verse 15. John 21, 15. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He's asking this disciple, Peter, do you love me more than these guys love me, the other disciples? So perhaps Jesus is having this conversation in front of the other disciples. We don't know. He's asking Peter, do you love me more than these guys? Now remember, Peter, back just a little while ago, you said you did love me more than these guys. You said you'd lay down my life for me. Peter, do you still have the same bravado as you had then? He's getting him to think about what's happened. And how did Peter respond? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Jesus said, he's saying to Peter, okay, you say you love me, show that by feeding my lambs. Show the reality that you've changed, Peter, by feeding my sheep. Jesus wanted Peter to give his followers, the sheep of Jesus, the word of God. That word would nourish them. That word would sustain them. That word would strengthen them. That word would rebuke them. That word would give them direction as they lived as the sheep of Jesus. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? In some ways, it's fair enough, isn't it? Hurt. But in other ways, we might be thinking, well, Peter, you did deny Jesus three times and he's asking you three times. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Notice again the threes. Three denials, three revelations. Now three questions, three answers. See, big total denial, big total proof, big total revelation, big totally convinced, big total challenge, and now big total answers. So the challenge for Peter was this. You say you love me, Peter, now show it. Totally convinced that Jesus was alive, he was to now show his love, that he was totally consumed by Jesus, by doing what he said. Back in John 14, verse 15, Jesus had said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Now, for Peter, had a very specific command to follow. This is an example of that command. Peter, Jesus saying to Peter, if you love me, Peter, obey this command. Feed my sheep. Look after my people. Give them the word of God. Nurture them. Encourage them. Rebuke them. That would show his love for Jesus. That was part of the challenge for Peter. Show his love by feeding the sheep of Jesus. But there was more. We're not surprised. There are three parts to the challenge. Feed my sheep. We see the next part in verse 18. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. See, this is the second part of the challenge for Peter. Jesus saying to him, you're going to die, Peter. that death is going to glorify me, and so follow me. It's a big challenge, isn't it, for Peter? But now he's totally convinced. It's still a big challenge. Follow me, Peter, even unto death. And you're going to die. Die for me. You're going to be a martyr for me. And follow me. And as the passage continues, we see the other challenge for Peter. The other challenge for Peter was to don't worry how other disciples are serving me. Forget about them. You just follow me. We see that in the next few verses. Verse 20. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Well, Lord, what about him? You just told me I'm going to die for you. What about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." And don't we just love the honesty here? Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and wrote them down. And we know that his testimony is true. See, what was John's job? To write things down, to write his account of the life of Jesus. That was his work that John, that Jesus gave him to do. And Peter was to forget that. Don't worry about how John's going to serve me. You follow me. He was to forget him in that respect. And so the big challenge for Peter, totally convinced about Jesus, he was totally consumed by Jesus, and he was to show that by feeding, following, and forgetting. Again, no surprise, it's three. And maybe this is why most sermons that we hear have 3 points. I don't know, it's a thought that just came to mind. It could be. Feeding, following, forgetting. Totally convinced, totally consumed. That is how Peter was to show that. And then there's one more verse. We'll come back to that a little bit later. But the question to ask then is, well, how did Peter go? Did he feed, follow, and forget? Did he show his love for Jesus by obeying him? We look in the book of Acts, we can say certainly he did. One part, he's there preaching and teaching, and he's arrested. Acts chapter 4, he's arrested because he and John and the other disciples are preaching what? Jesus and the resurrection of the dead, that he'd been raised from the dead. So he's thoroughly convinced he's now feeding the sheep, feeding the flock. And John and Peter were told, don't speak about Jesus anymore. That was a crunch time, wasn't it, for Peter? Would he go back to his old self and deny Jesus again? Acts 4 verse 19 said this. They were told not to speak at all about Jesus, but Peter and John said they're together again. They replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we can't help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Peter's a changed man. He did not deny Jesus ever again. He was showing his love for Jesus, which he said he had. Totally convinced, now totally consumed by Jesus. And if you've read in other parts of the New Testament, like in Galatians 2, Peter doesn't care anymore what others are doing as they serve the Lord. In Galatians 2, we read about how Peter and others agreed that Paul, the Apostle Paul and his companions, go to the Gentiles to speak about Jesus, while Peter and others, his companions, to go to the Jews. Peter is no longer concerned how others are serving the Lord. What about his death? Well, the Bible speaks nothing about his death, but tradition has it that he was crucified under Emperor Nero. And again, tradition has it that he was crucified upside down. because he saw himself unworthy to be crucified in the same way that Jesus was. And before his death, what else did Peter do? At least two other things. He wrote 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And through that, Peter fed the sheep of Jesus, the original readers of 1 and 2 Peter, and now he's feeding us as well as we read 1 and 2 Peter and hear it spoken about. So wonderfully, we are the recipients of the love that Peter had for Jesus. We have the word that Peter wrote. Peter continues to answer or show his love because he continues to feed us as we read it and other believers read it. We are the beneficiaries of what of Peter's love for Jesus. He fed the sheep, continues to feed the sheep. He followed Jesus and he forgot what others, he didn't worry about how others were serving the Lord. And wonderfully, dear brothers and sisters, we today are the beneficiaries of that love that Peter had for Jesus. Isn't that great? And so, really, the application for us today is this. See, we're not in the same situation as Peter. We didn't see Jesus like that, or we have that conversation. But we are the beneficiaries of what Peter did in response. And so, the challenge for us is this, the big challenge for us is to feed on the word that has been provided for us through Peter and the other Bible writers. See, that word nurtures us. That word strengthens us. That word sustains us. That word rebukes us. That word encourages us to keep going as the sheep of Jesus. See, remember back in chapter 20, we said, there in the word today, there Jesus meets us and he sends us out with that word. Chapter 21 tells us we keep going by that word. The word brings us to faith in Jesus, overcomes any barriers to belief that are there, and then that word keeps us going. Let us feed on the word that's been wonderfully provided. Now, New Year's Day tomorrow, you might be thinking New Year's Day, New Year's resolutions or whatever. Perhaps, maybe not. Well, it doesn't matter really. Now is a great time. If we've been struggling to read on the feed on the word, perhaps individually, to ask God to help you with that as you begin the new year tomorrow. If you need help in terms of taking in the word yourself, happy to give you some ideas. As a family together, your own families taking in the word together if you don't live by yourself. If you've never joined a Bible study group, be part of one next year and be fed the word together there. Never too late to start. Never too late to start, husbands and wives, you've got kids, whatever your family situation is. Never too late to being fed by the word together. And, of course, keep coming to church week by week. We're fed here together. If you go away on holidays, always great to gather with believers as well and still be fed the word together. That's the challenge really for us today from this passage. Be fed, keep being fed on the word. And it's all worth it because we've got a big Jesus. Look at the next verse there. The last verse of the gospel. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. See, John has been very selective in what he's written down, what he's recorded. And he's done it for our sake, that we come to believe and we keep on believing. Keep feeding on the word that has been provided. Now, on Christmas Day, my family had the blessing of meeting together at my cousin's place, and we actually got there early. And I asked my cousin, "Do you need any help with getting things organized?" "No, just sit back and relax." Well, I need to be told that once, just to sit back and relax. "Just take it all in, Craig." "Yep, no worries." It was great. So all the food came out and had a wonderful meals, a lunch and dinner together. And and then had 2 days at my parents' place. And again, I said to Mum, any help needed? No, just sit back and relax. Great, great. So sit back and relax, fed food, watched the Boxing Day test match. It was great. Wonderful enjoyment to feed on the food that was provided. On a much more significant note, actually, before I get to that, come tonight, there'll be great food as well, I'm sure. Feed on that, and I'm happy to help cook the barbecue, Steve, if you need help. Feed on that food that'll be provided as well. But much more significantly, let's keep feeding on the word provided for us. Again, we're the beneficiaries of Jesus' challenge to Peter. Let's keep feeding on his word and keep growing together. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word. Thank you for the word that we're fed by, that you provided through Peter, that you provided through other Bible writers. And Father, please help us to take up that challenge and feed and keep feeding on that word that is provided. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.